Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to We're Hit Radio. I'm your host, Mark Matheny, and today is the 9th of April, 2015. And today I wanted to discuss something, and that is about the Havrida Chadasha, the New Testament. There's a lot of talk about whether the New Testament was originally written in Greek, whether it was written originally in Hebrew or Aramaic, and so on. And so I kind of wanted to discuss a little bit of that. I have done extensive studies in this area and have studied for about 24 years now. But one of the things I wanted to talk about is that, before I go into depth into this subject, I just wanted to read a very well-known set of scripture that Yeshua the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach said in instructing his Talmudim, his disciples, on how they should pray. And if you've ever read it, he said, in this manner you ought to pray, you know, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others who trespass against us. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. So be it, or amen. In the Hebrew text, it's a little different than in the way it would be translated. It essentially says, "Lachen kotit palalu, avinu shebashemayim yitkadash mecha, tavo malchutecha yaseh raton kakamo b'shemayim ken be'eretz, et lechem chukhenu ten lanu hayom, utslach lanu ekovotenu kasher salachnu gam anachnu lechayevenu. Va'al tivienu lidei nisayon ki im chaltsenu min hara, ki lecha hamamlecha v'hagvura v'atiferet lo olame olamim. Amen." In this, in some respects, I'll say, it says, in one place it says, you know, when it says, it's reversed in the sense of kamo b'shamayim ken ba'aretz, just as you know it says in on earth as it is in heaven. Well, in the Hebrew text it says just as in heaven so on earth and so on. It's just, you know, different little differences. But concerning the Aramaic or the Greek, you know, a lot of Christians, especially who, you know, read the New Testament in the King James Version, believe that the New Testament was written in the original Greek language. And this becomes a stumbling block. A lot of people are, you know, confused about this. But I want to read the prophet Isaiah first. He says he sees a time where there would be a lot of confusion. It says in the Hebrew, well, in the First Testament, I would say, that some call the Old Testament. It says, "In judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yes, truth falls, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And Yahweh saw this, and it displeased him that there was no judgment, and he saw there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he shall repay, fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The islands will he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of Yahweh from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun." Now, the Holy One has informed us that in the last days, according to Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, that men would run to and fro, and that knowledge would be increased. And of course, you know, we are living in this time, but there are some groups that, you know, would want to reject that type of knowledge as not being important. No, you should just love one another, you know. In the book of 2 Peter, you know, he mentions the word knowledge four times. And, you know, it is important, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Kochma, bina, da'at, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are all important. And according to the Holy One, you know, we should not reject knowledge, because he says, for my people have rejected knowledge. And so because of this, because they will not hear the Torah, Hashem says he will reject them. But I want to go over one of the things is, you know, whether the New Testament, the Havrit HaKadasha, or the Renewed Covenant, is was written originally in Greek or in Hebrew. And let's, you know, the scriptures are there for our correction, for our reproof and instruction and so on, as Shaul said to Timothy. And I believe that, you know, so we should go to the inspired scriptures, and we should look to the Torah, to the Tanakh, to the writing, the Torah and the prophets, the Nevi'im, to instruct us and lead us and guide us. And the New Testament should really be translated, let's say, not interpreted, I should say, from the Old Testament. You should use the First Testament, as I call it. Some people call it the Old Testament. I don't call it old. The First Testament, in order to interpret the Renewed Covenant or the Havrit HaKadasha, the New Testament. And originally it was, in my opinion, and now, you know, a lot of scholars, this is based on a lot of scholarship and proof, that the original text were in Hebrew or Aramaic. And there was a lot of tampering, corruption in the translations, going from Hebrew to Aramaic, or from Aramaic to Greek, and then to Latin, and then to English, with the King James Version having anywhere from 30 to 40,000 mistranslated verses or texts or words and so on. So there's a lot of things that we deal with in that, but, you know, we know that they're really having, we've come across lots of manuscripts over the years, but whether there are any original ones are still, you know, up for grabs. Most have been, you know, recopied and recopied and recopied. A lot of the Hebrew manuscripts in the time of 10 major persecutions from around 100 CE to 300 CE were destroyed. And the other reason is that the Jews would, once manuscripts became old and dilapidated, would bury them. And so a lot of these have, you know, are harder to find than Greek manuscripts, which would not have been, you know, treated the same way. So a lot of people, of course, who believe in a Greek New Testament resort to these interlinears, these Greek interlinears, such as the Englishman's. I don't know if you ever heard of the interlinear Englishman's Greek New Testament, you know, and they use this as their authority in, you know, whether, you know, a translation in the King James Version is correct or not. If you go into the interlinear Englishman's Greek New Testament, however, if you look in the beginning of that book, and which I do have a copy of, it says in the introduction to that work, it says, we have taken the Greek text of Stephens 1550, which is the common text in this country. So obviously it's not going back to any original inspired Greek New Testament, so-called, but it's a copy, and it was a translation, which, you know, came from a Hebrew copy, way back before then. But to establish the fact that, you know, there have become errors in especially the King James Version, there is the Illustrated History of the Holy Bible by John Kitto. And on page 37 and 38, he says, "The different manner in which some passages are expressed in different manuscripts together with the omission or the insertion of a word or of a clause constitutes what are called various readings. And this was occasioned by oversights or mistakes of transcribers who deviated from the copy before them, these persons not being, as some have supposed, supernaturally guided against the possibility of error. A mistaken copy of one would, of course, be propagated all that were taken from it, each of which copies might likewise have peculiar faults, so that the various readings would thus be increased in proportion to the number of transcripts that were made. And, you know, obviously, each time if one was mistranslated, then it was then sent forth and someone else copied from that manuscript, you could see how the corruption could multiply." And so further down in the same book, in the beginning, he says, "At the same time, they were unwilling to correct such mistakes as they detected, lest their pages should appear blotted or defaced, and thus they sacrificed the correctness of the copy for the fair appearance." So a lot of times they didn't want to correct the error on that manuscript because it would take a lot of time to write, and they wanted it to look nice, so they just leave the error there. So in McClintock and Strong's Cyclopedia, under New Testament, if you look it up, it says the original copies seem to have soon perished. And so further along in this article, it says, "Partly because owing to the destruction thus caused, but still more from the natural effects of time, no manuscripts of the New Testament of the first three centuries remain." Now, there is the Aramaic Peshitta, and I'll talk about that. But some of the oldest extant were certainly copied from others, which dated from within this period. But as of yet, no one can be placed further back than the time of Constantine, according to this article. And so still further along in the same article, it says, "History affords no trace of the pure apostolic originals." And so based on this evidence, it should be obvious that any, you know, faith based on Greek manuscripts basically is kind of, you know, basing your house on sand, basically. And so that's, you know, one thing that I want to talk about. It's important to understand. So if we look at, because I'm kind of short on time and there's a lot of things I want to cover, I'm just going to kind of go through as fast as I can. So, you know, the language of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah at that time, if you look back, Joseph Klausner was a PhD. He states on page 263 of his book, and that book is called Jesus of Nazareth, he says, quote, "After the reading of the Pentateuch, they concluded with the reading of the prophets, translating orally to the people in Aramaic. This was especially the case in Galilee, where the unlearned were more than in Judea, and where few people spoke Hebrew." Because whenever they'd go into the synagogue, they would usually read from the Hebrew text, and then for those who didn't understand Hebrew, because a lot of the commoners spoke Aramaic, there would be a person, the Amorim, who would then translate from the Hebrew to the Aramaic, so they could understand it for the benefit of those who hadn't studied those languages. And Aramaic, of course, is a Semitic language, and it's a dialect of Hebrew. The script that you read today, the modern script, is Square Aramaic script, and they use it for Hebrew and for Aramaic for the most part. So, but Aramaic is certainly different from Hebrew. So in that same book that I just mentioned, Jesus of Nazareth, on page 234, we read, "Yeshua certainly knew the law and the prophets and the book of Psalms, and he also had knowledge of the book of Daniel and also perhaps of the book of Enoch. And it says, it may be, however, that he only heard the law and the prophets read in Hebrew and translated into Aramaic, his spoken language, in the synagogue of Nazareth, where, you know, of course, practically no Jewish town without a synagogue back then. For all the sayings of Yeshua, which have been preserved in the Gospels in his actual language, are in Aramaic. Both the Talmud and the Gospels tell us that in Judea, Galileans were recognizable by their language, which was Aramaic. And so, again, you know, most of the time in the synagogues, they would have more than likely read it in Hebrew and then translated into Aramaic. There are portions, of course, of Daniel in Aramaic. Of course, that's Chaldean language. But anyway, the language of the New Testament, a lot of the more knowledgeable scholars, if you look and you research, most of them agree that the New Testament books were either written in Hebrew or Aramaic originally. Now, the thing is, in my opinion, is that, you know, since Luke and Paul would have also known Greek and could speak Greek, it is possible that there had been some copies made of the original Hebrew into Greek, maybe even possibly during the time of Shaul, for the benefit of some of the Greek believers. That's possible. But I believe originally the original texts were in Aramaic and or in Hebrew. But it doesn't mean they chose to write them in Greek. You know, there's a lot of scholars who feel that, especially at least certain books in the New Testament were written in Hebrew and Aramaic and then translated into Greek. And a lot of people believe, and I believe, that the entire New Testament was traced and can be traced back to Hebrew and Aramaic originals. You have the Aramaic Peshitta, for example, which I have a copy of. I have a copy of one from Hebrew, or from, I'm sorry, in the original Aramaic translated into Hebrew. And then there's Lamza's Holy Bible from the Peshitta. And in it, it says on the beginning page, it says, we can come to the New Testament, the New Covenant. We must not forget that Christianity grew out of Judaism. The Messianic Gospel was another of the Almighty's message, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. And for several centuries, the Messianic movement was directly guided by Jews. All of the apostles and evangelists were Jewish. These facts are strongly supported in the Gospels and history, it says. And the Pauline epistles were letters written by Paul to the small congregations in Asia Minor, Greece, and Rome. These early believers were mostly Jews of the dispersion, men and women of Hebrew origin, who had been looking for the coming of the Messiah and predicted by the Hebrew prophets, it says. Let me look at, see how much more time I have. I have still a little more time left. So it goes on to say in the beginning of this, at the outset, the Romans were the masters of the world. The Greeks were not looking for a deliverer to rise up from among a people whom they hated and crushed. Paul, on his journeys, spoke always in the Jewish synagogues. His first converts were Hebrews, and then came Aramaeans, kindred to the Hebrews. As in the case of Timothy and Titus, it says their fathers were Aramaean and their mothers were Jewish. So Yeshua and his disciples spoke the Galilean dialect of Aramaic, the language which the early Galileans had brought from the other side of the river Euphrates. And it says Mark tells us in the Gospel 14:70 that Peter was exposed by his Galilean Aramaic speech. And Paul, of course, was educated in Jewish law in Jerusalem, and he was a member of the Jewish council. His native language was Western Aramaic, but he acquired his education through Hebrew and Chaldean or Palestinian Aramaic, the language spoken in Judea. And he defended himself on trial in his own language in Acts chapter 22, verse 2, not in Greek. Paul was then converted and healed and baptized in Damascus in Syria, it says. The epistles were translated into Greek for the use of converts who spoke Greek. Later, they were translated in Latin and other languages. So, possibly, however, the most outstanding study Bible compiled is the Companion Bible, and that's by E.W. Bullinger, which I also have. And to further support this New Testament, originally being written in Hebrew or Aramaic and not in Greek, is there's an appendix in this one, and on page 134 it states, the writers were Hebrews, and thus, while the language is Greek, the thoughts and idioms are Hebrew. Okay, so he says these idioms or these Hebraisms are generally pointed out in the notes of the Companion Bible. Okay, if the Greek of the New Testament be regarded as an inspired translation from Hebrew or Aramaic originals, most of the various readings would not or would be accounted for and understood. So if we go back and think about what he just said, Dr. E.W. Bullinger regards Greek as most realistically a translation, setting forth the logical conclusion that the New Testament is a translation from Hebrew and Aramaic originals. So, and these are scholars who are well versed in these things. And so, you know, we can conclude that the New Testament is, the Greek New Testament anyway, is a translation from Hebrew and Aramaic originals. Okay. So we can't continue to have this idea, that this myth, that the New Testament was written originally in Greek. There's a lot of evidence that points to underlying Hebrew and Aramaic Hebraisms in the document of the New Testament. And so here are some quotes that I gathered. This one is from a survey by Matthew Black, An Aramaic Approach to the Gospels. He says, the method of determining a Semitic original under Greek or other text has often been discussed in connection with the New Testament. And then another scholar, Professor Charles C. Torrey, he maintained that all the evangels were originally written in Aramaic in the Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church under Aramaic. So he also defends that. And even looking into the Greek text, he says you can see the Hebraisms in it. He says he went out and he challenged at one point, it says in here, they challenged these people to show anything, that the four Gospels could be any other than Hebrew, and any clear evidence outside of Israel past any time for 50 AD or what have you, and there was no passages. In the same book review, it says the main thesis of Professor Torrey in his book is that all four Gospels were compiled in the early period of the first century CE and were written in Aramaic. Okay. And a Dr. Solomon Zeitlin, professor of rabbinic law and elder statesman, scholar of wide acclaim, did this book review, in which was published in the Jewish Quarterly Review in April 1942, where he basically also agreed. He had some doubt about the Book of John, but he basically agreed that the Synoptic Gospels were written in Aramaic. This was on page 429. So you can see, again, scholars all concluding that. And one point of it, Dr. Zeitlin says, it's possible that the Jewish believers wrote part of the Gospels on the margins of the scrolls of the Holy Scriptures, to which practice some rabbis objected to very strenuously, like Targums. And, you know, they would write them on the sides, notes that later became part of the script that they wrote in these writings. Another interesting thing. Interestingly, Matthew also records this. If you've ever read Matthew chapter 13:52, where, you know, he says, I think it was Yeshua then says, you know, so any man who is well versed in the kingdom of heaven then is like a scribe who pulls out things new and things old. And that's what it is, the revealing of the Old Testament in the renewed covenant. And that's what these apostles and disciples did. They basically revealed the prophecies and wrote what is called the Havrit HaChadashah, and they wrote it in Hebrew and in Aramaic, and then later translations into Greek. There's a lot of excellent points that you can go through, and there is a book, Quest of the Historical Jesus, by Albert Schweitzer, and in there he says, the fact is that from the language of the New Testament, it is often difficult to make out whether the underlying words are Hebrew or Aramaic. But again, he shows that it's either in Hebrew or Aramaic. And that Yeshua spoke Aramaic, Meyer has shown by collecting all the Aramaic expressions which occur in his preaching. He considers Abba, means father. It's more of an endearment term in Hebrew or Aramaic. In Gethsemane, decisive for this means that Yeshua prayed in Aramaic in his hour of the bitterest need. Remember when Yeshua was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed, he called Hashem Abba. He was praying in Aramaic again. So, again, back to Dr. Charles Torrey, in the early 1900s, he began to, you know, bring about this position that the New Testament, the Greek New Testament, had watermarks of being a translated document. And he presented his views to a community, an academic community at that time. But there was a lot of people that were, you know, basically, they didn't give him any credence, basically. They, you know, didn't discuss it seriously. But he also published other works. The four Gospels are translated Gospels, documents of the primitive church, and so on. And one of the most widely circulated one was the our translated Gospels. In this book, he explains how a lot of the problems in the Greek text evaporate when you research the Aramaic or the Hebrew language for the words that stood in the original text and were wrongly translated. And for example, the eye of the needle, you know, and he says it's harder for the, you know, a camel to go through the eye of the needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven. The word gamala in Aramaic is a rope, you know, a thick rope. So it's hard for a thick rope to go through an eye of a needle, not a camel. Gimel, you know. So these are some of the things that disappear in the translation, basically. Also, there's many other things. I'm going to leave a footnote for a link to a document written by a man named Elder Jacob O'Meyer, who did lots of research in this and came up with a booklet called Exploding the Original Greek New Testament Myth. And in it, he has a lot of good research and lots of scholarship that you can see that proves that, you know, the original texts were in Aramaic and Hebrew. Now, listen, there's a reason for this, to understand this. It kind of breaks this replacement theology that's being taught, you know, nowadays by a lot of the churches and the assemblies and things. And that's why I wanted to kind of talk about this, because it's important to understand that these texts were originally in Hebrew and Aramaic. It's not to be puffed up that, oh, you know, it's just not for that reason. But there's a lot of deception going on, and that's the whole reason that, you know, Jews look at Yeshua as a Greek Messiah, because it's all Greek to them, you know, literally. The New Testament is all Greek, and that's the stance that a lot of the theologians on the Christian side have, and I'm going into overdrive a little bit. I'm going to go on for a few more minutes. And so what that does is that kind of pushes Jews away, Orthodox Jews, or Jews who have not accepted yet Yahshua as the Messiah, push them away from wanting to really understand that Yahshua was a Jew that lived in Israel at that time, who was a rabbi, who taught the Torah, who followed the customs and the traditions, not of men, but that were outlined in the Tanakh, you know, in the Torah, in the Nevi'im, in the Ketuvim writings, and that were practiced at that time. Yeshua did not condemn the scribes and the Pharisees for what they taught. He condemned the fact that they were hypocritical in that they taught, but they would not practice. And he told everyone, you know, that the scribes and the Pharisees sit in the seat of Moshe. He says, all that he teaches, do and obey. When he said, all that they teach, do and obey, he was referring to what Moshe had commanded, not necessarily what the Pharisees had, but they were passing down this oral tradition, oral law, because there are many of the laws in the Torah that cannot be understood unless you understand the oral law, the description of how these things were given. And that's why you have the Talmud and you know, the Midrashim and all of these different things, these books. There's a lot of good gems in these things because they are the interpretation of how these laws were to be obeyed. Now, Yeshua would often condemn some of the stringency, and it was the hypocrisy of, you know, saying, you know, that they go to and fro through land and sea to convert a person. And he says, when you convert them, you make them twice the son of Gehenna than yourselves. He was condemning them for their hypocrisy and then passing that on to others. But the Torah and the writings and the Ketuvim and the Nevi'im, the prophets, he was saying that, you know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, according to the law and the prophets, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You cannot interpret the New Testament, the Havrit HaKadasha, by pagan ideology and foreign Greek philosophy. You have to interpret it as in the Sitzim Liben, the life setting of the time, and according to the customs of that time, amongst the writers and amongst the people who brought forth the book, and that was the Jews. And, you know, Yeshua, talking to the Samaritan woman, says, you know, for salvation is from the Jews. It comes from that nation. You have to understand it in that light and in that time. So anyway, I'll put the link at the bottom. I'll put the link on this radio show to this text, this booklet called Exploding the Inspired Greek New Testament Myth. Very good booklet written by, again, Elder Jacob O'Meyer. I met the man personally, very humble man. He is now passed. He is now asleep in Hashem, you know, waiting for the resurrection. And but he's written very many scholarly books and booklets and so on. And he was a great guy. I liked him a lot. Very humble, like I said. And I believe that his heart was dedicated 100% to serving Hashem as best as a man can here on earth. So for We're Hit Television, for Six Semper Tyrannus News, I'm Mark Matheny. And my thing is that you need to, as the scriptures say, study to show yourself approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly discerning, dividing the word of truth, that says. That's important, studying for yourselves to see, and then examining yourself to see whether you be in the faith, whether you have emunah in Hashem, because the times are definitely evil. We know that there's a lot of turmoil in the world right now, and I talk about it in my daily shows and my news accounts come to Six Emperor Tyrannus News, look through the archives that I have up in the right-hand corner where it says Six Emperor Tyrannus News, Breaking News. If you click on that, all my articles that I have personally written over the years are there. You can go through them and check them. Current events, news, prophecy, biblical, all of that's there. So I appreciate you listening. And again, check out this booklet that I'll post a link to. And you have a good day. Take care of your own rights, because if you don't, no one else will. Thanks for listening.